Blog Talk Radio.
Go.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Me. Basically, what we're trying to do in the program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
But from coast to coast and around the world.
Around the world. You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr.
I'll add, just like Lisa did. Lisa did that, and she posted a comment. Thank you very much, Lisa. Yep. Oh, I'm sorry.
All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Hey!
Yeah, there they are.
Bus pulls up, door open.
Doors open, people jump out, they start screaming, clapping, and all that. They have their wine in their hand, they're ready for the show. And so are we.
Yes, we are, I think.
I think everything. Good.
We're ready to go.
Good. We have our show tonight. Just information for you. Next week, Thanksgiving, so no show. You all be safe out there. Have yourselves a good Thanksgiving meals or whatever you do to celebrate Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Oh, no. Wait. Oh, no. No. That's a good time. That's a good time.
There you go.
These people are unbelievable.
Yeah,
I know.
They're getting
awesome.
A little antsy out there.
Oh,
I swear.
Yeah.
Then we got, then the week after that, the second, we have ourselves a guest. So.
No, it's already December after next
yeah,
show.
Yeah, it's already December. It's amazing.
After the next not show.
Yeah.
It's the not show.
Not show next week in December.
Right.
And I think we have. Don't we have Hanukkah coming up real soon here, right after Thanksgiving? I think so. Because I was talking last night, I was talking to a group, and one of them is Jewish, and he mentioned something about Hanukkah being right close to
the 28th.
Okay,
yep,
yeah.
November 28th.
Yeah, so we got Hanukkah coming up.
Through December 6th.
Yeah, early this year for some reason. It's usually later, usually into December, but it's earlier this year. So, happy Hanukkah for all of you who are of the Jewish persuasion. That's coming up the 28th, you say? Yeah. So we got that. And then today, which is the third Wednesday of November, or the third Wednesday of November. I was off a day on that. The third Wednesday of November is, how long have we been doing this program on Thursdays? And then I call today Wednesday. Is National Zinfandel Day. So pull out your bottle of Zinfandel or Primitiva or whatever one you're going to drink. That's the same, and enjoy it. Now, again, as I have told you before, these days that come up, Zinfandel days, I have one that says the third Wednesday of November. I found another one that says it's on the 18th. So it's, I don't know.
Which would be today.
Yeah, it could make it today. I'm not sure, but third Wednesday in November.
Reason, is there any reason why it can't be like every day? I mean, is there any reason why
you
it's,
have
you know,
a
it's be
very, very good point there? Yes, excellent, good thinking.
You know,
yeah,
why does that? Yeah. Oh, once a year, let's celebrate Zinfandel. No, why don't we celebrate it every day?
That's right. Zinfandel is a good wine. Celebrate it every day. But then we have to wait
for the
18th or the third Thursday in November, which would actually be today, is Beaujolais Nouveau Day. And
See, that I can't get behind because I can't spell it.
No, I'm pretty sure they know. B-E-A-U-J-O-L-A-I-S.
B-E-A-U. Where'd you get that?
Beaujolais. Beau, like in Beautiful. Beaujolais. J-O-L-A-I-S. Beaujolais. Nouveau. N-O-U-V-E-A-U. Beaujolais Nouveau. I think that's what. Spanish or Hungarian or something. French. French.
We'll go with that.
Beaujolais Nouveau Day. It's the third Thursday of November. They're releasing the Beaujolais Nouveau today. If you're not familiar with it, it is an early release of the Beaujolais grape. They, some genius, and I'm not saying that facetiously, that I'm really mean it. Some genius came out with the idea that why don't we release this early Beaujolais and just call it Beaujolais Nouveau or New Beaujolais, and make a big deal out of it and distribute it around the world, and we'll show people around the world the airplane taking off from France with all the Beaujolais in it to go out and distribute it everywhere and all that. And it was genius because everybody around the world jumped on it, grabbed it, and it, for a number of years it became a really, really big deal. In fact, this year I haven't seen anything about it, but it became a big deal. I used to get a Beaujolais Nouveau every year, a couple of them at least. And they used to be really, really good. And then the quality started to jump around a lot. So because the quality jumped around, I wasn't as excited about it coming out. But I still get it. And then, it was a couple years ago, it snuck up on us. And I said, let me go get a Beaujolais Nouveau and see how it is. So I went down to my local liquor store that I use quite often. Just a small one. Which I like the small stores because you get to know the people. And I asked him if he had his Beaujolais Nouveau in yet. And he says, I didn't order any. I go, what? Why not? He said, because it didn't sell last year. He says, I ordered 5 cases last year. And he says, I was lucky to sell 1. He says, so I didn't order the Beaujolais Nouveau this year. And this was a couple of years ago. And then last year I checked and... let's see. Last year, we were just still in the pandemic pretty full force. And so I don't think I checked on it then. Don't think I went by to see if he had it. But then afterward, when things started to open up, I went by and asked him if he had any Beaujolais Nouveau. And he said, no, he didn't even order it then either. So I don't know. It's supposed to be released today. It should be on the shelves actually at midnight on the third Thursday of November. It becomes available. So a lot of places, a lot of stores stay open to midnight because people will run in and get it right away and try it and stuff. I don't know if it's still that popular or not. I have no idea. But if you've had the new Beaujolais Nouveau or if you bought it today and you've tasted it, jump on and message us. Let us know right away if it's any good. You don't have to do any more than that. Just say, had it today, it sucks, or had it today and it was fantastic. And I'll go out and get myself a bottle. I'll probably stop by tomorrow and pick up a bottle anyway. It's that time, so I'll probably find one in a couple of weeks or so. I'll let you know how it is. So, that Beaujolais Nouveau Day, though. And then next week, I think the 24th, and again, it's so many different sites give me so many different things, but the 24th is Carmenere Day. If you're not familiar with Carmenere is a grape that's grown in Chile now quite a bit. Originally came from France. They moved it to Chile many, many, many years ago, and they had it confused with the Merlot. They thought it was Merlot, but the Carmenere grapes are the part of the Merlot vineyard was starting to mature and be ready to pick sooner than other parts, and they couldn't figure out why the Merlot was being picked a good week and a half earlier, and they found out it wasn't Merlot, it was Carmenere. So there is mixed emotions on Carmenere. The wine minister of Chile, which would be a great job to have, wouldn't it, be a wine minister of a country? Wine minister of Chile said that Carmenere is just a so-so grape. It's just something to enjoy occasionally, but it's nothing that to get too excited about. Other people say Carmenere could be the grape of Chile if they promote it and embrace it. I am of the second group. I love Carmenere. It's got a little hint of pepperiness to it that I just absolutely love. It's got some great tastes. You can get them different styles. I like the one with a little bit more tannin. It's got some good color to it. It has some good floral nose with some peppery nose to it. It's just really a great grape. So if you get a chance, pick yourself up a Carmenere. It's Carmenere, Carmenere. And excuse me, it's from Chile. There are still a few places around the world that grow the Carmenere grape, but basically it's out of Chile. There is a winery in California, I think, who does Carmenere, but I think he's doing basically a blend with it. I don't know if he's coming out with a rider with it or not, but it's well worth it. Find yourself, don't get the cheapest one by any means, because the cheapest one is cheap and it tastes like it's cheap. But pick up one that, is, I don't know, it's around $15 range, and I don't believe you will be disappointed. So those are the holidays that we got coming up, that right now, wine holidays. But like Mike says, and I agree, very good point, why do you have to have a day to enjoy a Carmenere or a Zinfandel or anything? Just go out and get it and enjoy it any day. It's been a while since we have done announcements of our guests that we've had, actually last year about this time. Since then, we have talked to a couple of them. We've talked to Joy Neighbors, who is writing a new book. We talked to her a couple of weeks ago. Oh, geez, more than that now, almost 3 weeks ago. And week after next, we have another one of those guests coming back to visit us, and that's Jim Loughran. And so, but I'm going to let Mike tell you about all these guests and what is going on with them, because they all still have their books and their different things out there. And so it's, I'll let you go ahead and do that.
Grab my list and there we go. Turn on my music keyboard and play a little jazz while I say these.
Always enjoy.
Here we go. Oh, thank you. Here we go. Let me play. Okay, back in October, co-directors Mark Johnson and Mark Ryan and writer Michael Karam were on the show October 8, 2020. The movie Wine and War, The Untold Story of Wine in the Middle East, is about survival, resilience, and struggles. Wine has been in Lebanon culture for 7,000 years. They are raising money for CAPHO, a great organization, and you can go to wineandwar.com, wineandwar.com. Click the Watch Now button, and that'll take you to where you need to go to watch it. On October the 15th, Jim Loughran was on the show. He's a certified wine educator and author. You can visit jimloughran.com. That's Jim, LaughRen.com. And he has two quick books right now out called The 15-Minute Guide to Red Wine, which is only 28 pages of good reading, and 15-Minute Guide to White Wine, which is another quick read and a handy reference to have as well. Check that out on Amazon. On October 29th, we welcomed Joy Neighbors to our Halloween special. She is the author of The Family Tree Cemetery Field Guide, How to Find, Record, and Preserve Your Ancestors' Graves, including topics to plan your trip to the cemetery, research, make sense of your research, and digging deeper into other records or preserving cemeteries. It's available at Barnes & Nobles, Amazon, and other outlets. On November 19th, we welcomed Michael Brown, author of Pinot Rocks, and he's also a winemaker. The book is available on Amazon.com. Pinot Rocks is available in any format, and the audio format is great because William Shatner did the audiobook version of his book. That's right, Captain Kirk. On January 14th, we had a great conversation with Cap Kaplowitz, a podcaster and blogger of cigars, spirits, coffee, and wine. And All About Wine's own show host, Ron, is also the wine panelist on the show. For more information, visit kaplowitz.xyz. That's kaplowitz.xyz. On February 11th, 2021, we had founder and producer of Beer, Wine, and Spirits, Jeff Bradford, on the show, the filmmaker dedicated to revealing the stories behind the labels of our favorite drinks. On February 25th, we welcome Natalie McLean, podcast host of the popular Unreserved Wine Talk. She's also an author of Red, White, and Drink All Over, and Unquenchable, a tipsy quest for the world's best bargain wines, plus several quick reads available on her website. She is also the wine expert on CTV's The Social, which is Canada's largest daytime television show, CTV News, and Global Television's Morning Show. You can pick up her Ultimate Food and Wine Pairing Guide for free by visiting her website at nataliemaclean.com/allaboutwine. That's nataliemaclean.com/allaboutwine. A little bit in there that I add.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
Such a nice rendition of that on the keyboard there, too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No, yeah, you do.
I'll be here till,
always do a nice
I'll show. Be here till Wednesday. Yeah, thank you. I got an update. Yeah, it's old. It's like I was listening to him and I go, wait a minute, these people weren't on this year. Joy was, but I'm listening to it and they're going through the dates and I'm like, that's last year. We got to update it. It was 2020.
Yeah.
And then they kind of went into February this year or something, but. Joy Neighbors is on the 28th, I think, of this year, not the 29th.
She was on the 28th. Yeah, she came back. She was one of those came back visits. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Jim Loughran coming back on the second business again. A lot of those people, those books and all that they have out, I've had an opportunity since then to read almost all of them, too. And excellent read on a lot of those. Joy's book, I got that, a hard copy of it, instead of going online. My sister's into genealogy, so after I finish reading this, I'm going to send it to her and let her enjoy it. But some of those movies, they're great movies, great calls, all that. Those are still available. And so there's, a lot of those. Cap does, Kaplowitz, XYZ does a blog. He's does a lot about cigars and rating cigars and talking about cigars. And our panel that we have includes myself, who is a wine person. There's a coffee person that's part of it, but a lot of cigar knowledge on there too. A lot of people. One is a seller of cigars, and there's all sorts of stuff going on with that.
Has Cap ever been down to Ybor City? Do you know? Has he ever mentioned?
I don't think so. He lives in Oregon. He lives just south of Oregon. Yeah.
That's a little drive.
It's not a weekend drive. Yeah.
I was just thinking with the history of the cigars back in the day. Man, that was over 200 cigar factories in that one area. It's just amazing.
Still a lot of history. Still an awful lot of history.
There is.
But,
yeah.
We've been they're going to get upset with me, but I can't think of one guy who represents a cigar company. Oh, geez. Very knowledgeable on cigars and all that. So if you want to find out more about cigars and everything, then tune in to Kaplowitz. He's got guests that he gets on there and stuff that they talk about cigars and all that. And I've learned quite a bit myself, just being in the group and talking all that. And then Joy Neighbors is always a joy, pun intended, to be on the show. She's always has great stories in her book. Books are really fascinating. She is in the middle of another book now, and so she's already agreed to be back on the show next October and tell us about her new book. So that should be fun. And then Jim Loughran is going to be on, and in a couple of weeks, so I'm not going to tell you what he's got planned. I will wait and let him announce it. So yeah. A lot of great guests, a lot of great stuff. Follow up on it out there, though. Tune in the movies, spend a few dollars that it costs to watch it, because all of the movies and all this stuff go to a good cause. They really aren't just trying to get your money. They're trying to promote stuff and trying to help stuff out there and all the books and all that stuff. So they're kind enough to be a guest. I like to help them as much as I can. So, all right. Thank you, Mike, for telling us about that. And I've got a few things to tell you today here, enough to fill up the rest of the hour. But the grommet, Grommet, the grommet. I'm not promoting them. I'm not doing anything. I saw that on something about wine, and somebody mentioned the grommet. It was something about wine utensils, if you will, or wine accessories, that stuff. And they said it was on the grommet. So I looked up the grommet, and a lot of neat stuff on there. They got women. They've got men. Oh, we have someone on hold. You have, or someone just listening out there?
Yeah, they're on hold.
They need to come on, or they just
calls anymore. We don't take calls anymore. So I'm not everything that's happened before. Sorry about that. If you're trying to get on, but we've had some issues in the past with some callers going in a different route than what the show was supposed to be about.
Going rogue.
They're severely rogue. Not getting us shut out, but we had to hang up on quite a few of them. So unfortunately, we stopped taking calls, and which is a sad thing because, you know, it's,
it really is, because we did have some good calls.
They want to take calls, but they have to be related to the show, to wine. They have to be clean, that kind of thing. So if you want to chat with us in the chat box and on our Facebook page or YouTube in the comment section, we'll take that.
Or if you have any questions, you know, put them in the chat box. Mike will relay them to me immediately, and we'll talk about it on the show. But sorry we can't take live calls. You know, the few bad ruin it for everybody. I'm sad to say.
Yeah, we take that chance anymore. It's an open show.
Yeah, it is. It's a live show. If we were editing everything, then it would be different. But we don't. We're live. So.
And that was the other part. I had to go back and re-edit those shows after it was finally updated, and I had to download them, edit them, and hold on. Yes, it is. Lisa's asking a question. Hold on. Is this Ron from Florida Estates, Florida Winery Estates? Yeah, it's close enough. Florida Estates Winery.
Yep.
The one and only. Yep, that's the same one. So she asked that on Facebook.
We closed, so.
Yes.
We are no longer open. I retired, but if I had not retired, we would not have made it through 2020 anyway with no business. So it's probably
terrible.
Best that I retired and sold all the stuff I did when I did, because the winery would not have survived the pandemic, the shutdown year. And so it was best. Yeah, I retired. I retired because the doctor said I had to retire. I have diabetes from Agent Orange in Vietnam, and there's no real way to understand how this is going to affect the body and all that. And my numbers were high, and they couldn't bring it down. They were having problems handling it and getting it down, and the stress and all that, because I was working 7 days a week. And then my doctor says, you need to retire, or else it's going to kill you. And so I waited for about 2 seconds, and I said, well, I guess I'm going to retire. So I did, and sold off everything. So the winery is no longer there. Thanks, Lisa, for asking, but the winery is no longer there. I miss it tremendously, and I miss the people, and I miss everything about it, but I am still alive. So
that's true. Yeah, she says, I know I miss your wine. So she misses the wine as well. So thank you very much for chiming in there.
Yeah, thank you. And there's none left, I don't think, anywhere. I think everybody's pretty much drank all the wines. I don't have, well, I'll take that back. I have three port left. So I do have some port, but
I think I have a port, and I think I have a spice. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you need to drink the spice. The port should be holding up well, but you need to drink that spice.
Yeah. Well, I figured if there's anything in it, I'll sift it or whatever you call it, filter.
Yeah.
Like I did with the coffee filter. Yeah. It was. Yeah. Gonna work.
Yeah.
Yeah. The port was awesome. I agree, Lisa. That was some fantastic. She said the port was awesome. Oh, it was.
Yeah, it was.
I have not had a wine match that since. I mean, it's hard to match that one.
That port was my pride and joy. It really was. People said, "Are you going? You enter this into contest?" And I said, "No, I don't do that." But you would. In fact, I was tasting one day, and there was a person came in, and a man came in, and he did a tasting, and he says, "Oh, he says, you have any awards, any gold on this port?" And I said, "No." I said, I don't enter my wines into those contests. We decided at the beginning we weren't going to do that. And it's just, you know, it was a personal decision. It wasn't anything against the contest or anything against the wines. And it cost you to enter most of them. And it was just the hassle. So I didn't do it. And I told him, "No, I don't enter." And he said, "Well, you need to enter this into the Florida wine tasting down at the fair." He said, this would win first prize. And I go, "Well, thank you for the compliment on that." I said, I'm very proud of my port. And I said, "But thank you for the compliment." He says, "Oh," he said, "no, really." He said, "This would win first prize." And I said, "Well, good. Again, thank you." And he said, "Oh," he said, "you don't understand." He says, "I'm one of the judges. This would win first prize." And I go, "Wow." I said, "Thanks."
That's what I was wondering, what he was doing at. They're like, "Okay, you told me that. Okay, thank you." Got it.
Yeah.
But then he said he's a judge.
I am a judge down there. And he said, "Once we taste, this would win first prize." And I go, "Wow, thank you." So, that port was great. I mean, everybody seemed to like it. It was a sweet port. Strawberry port, and taste of strawberries in it. I, you know, had enough strawberry taste in it that it didn't overpower, but it was evident that it was strawberries, and it was my pride and joy. Really was. I was very proud of that. I was proud of all my wines, but that port had a special place. You know, it was mine. It wasn't. We had a sister winery in South Florida, which has since closed down, Eden Vineyards, and
really that closed
wine,
too.
Yeah, he closed that one down too. So Eden Vineyard closed down, but he had a lot of the same wines I did. I had a lot of the same as he did, but he didn't have the port. It was my own creation and everything. Again, very proud of that. Mm. So, but thank you, Lisa, for calling in. Appreciate it. Texting in or messaging.
Commenting.
However you got a hold of us, we appreciate it.
How long have we been on? We don't even know what a text or a text.
Yeah. I know. Well, we're approaching our 13th year, I think, aren't we? And we don't...
Yeah. 11 years old. Figured out what it's called.
Yeah. It takes us a little time.
Right now, it's just thank you for typing letters and sending those over to us.
Electronic thing.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever it's called.
We appreciate it. Whatever it's called. The Gourmet, GROMMET. Go check that out. There's a lot of stuff there, and it's getting close to Christmas, so if you're looking for something to pick up for gifts for Christmas or something, then there's enough garbage stuff there that you might be able to find something that's unique. But they also have a lot of wine stuff, accessories. They have decanters and they have corkscrews and they have some other odds and ends for wine accessories. So that's the reason I was checking it out. But there's a lot of stuff there. And again, I'm not promoting the site or anything. I just checked it out for the first time today just to get an idea of what it was like. And so I thought, well, I'll tell you all about it and you can check it out for yourself. The Gourmet, I think it's Gourmet, G-R-O-M-M-E-T. But the website, thegourmet.com. 50 alcoholic beverage manufacturers' global retail sales. This comes out of Pro Food Magazine, latest issue. And I was looking through this, and this is the alcoholic beverages. The first one on the list is number 10. And that's Constellation Brands out of the United States. And they're the first one that makes wine. All the rest of them out there is just beer, ready to drink, or spirits. But Constellation Brand comes in at number 10. And Woodbridge is their main one. That's probably one you're most familiar with. But they have 44 manufacturing plants. And it's like, wow. Yeah, so they spread out all over the world, though. They make Corona and Modelo and stuff like that, too, so you can see why. Next one down to number 13, Suntory Holdings. They're out of Japan, and they also make wine and other stuff. It doesn't list the wine they make. Then number 14, Castel Group, which is out of France, and they're also making wine. Number 18, Otker Gruppe, Germany company, and they do wine along with spirits and beer and razor drink. 19 is Pernod Ricard Group out of France and wine, spirits, razor drink. Number 20 is Haidt Jinro Company Limited, and that's out of South Korea, beer, wine, and spirits. These are, you know, ranked in the global retail sales. So you're looking at a tremendous amount of monies to be up in, even in the top 50 here. Then we drop down to the next one that sells wine is number 26, and that's E&J Gallo Winery out of the United States. And that's all they sell is wine, and they are in at number 26. Barefoot, Carlo Rossi, Twin Valley, Peter Vella, Liberty Creek, all of that is under the E&J Gallo. Then number 33, the Distill Group Limited out of South Africa, and they do wine, spirits, and ready to drink. Number 42, Accolade Wines out of Australia, and they do only wine. Number 43, Brown Forman Corporation of the United States, and they do wine and spirits, and they list the spirits they do, Jack Daniels, Brown Brothers, Early Times, Old Forester, but it didn't list any wines, so that just seems odd. Number 45, the Wine Group out of the United States, and they just do wine. You've heard of these, Franzia, Inglenook, Almaden, Benzinger. I look like Behringer, but it's Benzinger. Number 46, Treasury Wine Estates out of Australia again. And they just do wine. And they do the Behringer, Wolf Blass, Yellow Glen, and Penfolds. And then number 49 out of Chile that does just wine. And that's the Vina Concitora. And that's Concitora, Casillo del Diablo, Don Mature, Frontera. Those are the products that they put out. So those are the only wines out of the top 50, which, yeah, I mean, I say only. That's really quite a quite a thing. I mean, being able to have that many. But out of the top 50, you have 11. Let's see, 3, 6, 9, 13. You have 13 ones that do wine, and the rest of them are beer, spirits, and ready to drink. So, interesting. Interesting little chart. Excuse me. I've had sinus problems the last week, and it's been affecting my throat and with the coughing and all the stuff. Okay, now this next one here is out of the San Francisco Chronicle. I get the San Francisco Chronicle simply because, well, I love the city of San Francisco, but that's not the main reason. The reason is because they usually have a lot of articles on wine in the Chronicle. They have wine sections. They have wine information. They talk about Napa. The houses, a lot of times houses for sale. Oh, which, by the way, if you didn't notice on the Facebook page, I posted the house I was talking about last week, 6.5 million or 6.45 million. And all the stuff that comes with it. Oh, my gosh, that really is a good price. If you start looking at all the stuff that comes with it, that $6.45 million is an excellent price for that, especially seeing some of the prices of other stuff, even here in, around the Tampa area, you know, houses that are listed at, you know, $7 and $8 million. And I'd rather have that property and all that other stuff. So yeah, but this is how the San Francisco Chronicle. And I think I'm going to read you the article. I was going to paraphrase it. I usually do a lot of times whenever I see stuff and go through it. But this one is interesting all the way through. There's a lot of information in here that I found quite interesting. And so I will read you the article. It states at the top of the article, prestigious wine group set to expel six in probe. Six master sommeliers will lose their prestigious wine titles following investigations into sexual misconduct allegations pending appeals. Notably, San Francisco's Fred Dame, who has been called the godfather of the American sommelier community. Now, wow, you know, wow. And two other local figures, like I said, this is out of the Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle. Robert Bath, a professor at St. Helena's Culinary Institute of America, and Matt Stamp, co-owner of Napa restaurant Compline. The Napa-based Court of Master Sommeliers Americas, and that's the full title, Court of Master Sommeliers Americas, because there's a European branch. The influential organization that can make a sommelier's career announced on Wednesday that it will also move to terminate the membership of Fred Dexheimer, a wine consultant in Brooklyn, Drew Hendricks, who had been director of business development at Pioneer Wine Company in Texas until November 2020, and Joseph Linder, a sommelier in Seattle. They are accused of a range of inappropriate behaviors, including non-consensual, and let me go to the next page here, non-consensual touching, flirting, and initiating exploitative sexual relationships. The court did not specify which acts each individual has been accused of. Some of the accusations were aired in an October 2020 New York Times article, which prompted the court to commission an outside investigation into the claims. That investigation informed the current terminations. So it did do something to investigate. Arguably the most famous master sommelier in the U.S., Dame was a focal point of the SOM documentary series. I don't know if you saw that or not. It was interesting, really interesting, which feted him as a legendary figure who had kicked off a wine revolution in the 1980s. Dame started his career as a sommelier at the Sardine factory in Monterey. Until October 2020, he worked as the global brand ambassador for Doa Vineyards in Paso Robles, which is in San Luis Obispo County. He is a co-founder of the Court of Master Sommeliers America. So, like, oh my gosh, this guy's right up there at the top, along with everybody else that, you know, that's big names and all that, but he's even more so. More than a dozen women told the New York Times that Dame had engaged in unwanted touching with them, including two instances of slapping women's rear ends at professional events. The two other local men named in the investigation, Bath and Stamp, are well known in their Napa Valley community. Bath, who passed the Master Sommelier exam in 1993, was one of the first to gain the title in the United States. In addition to teaching wine courses at the Culinary Institute of America, he operates a wine importing company in St. Helena and has consulted for Alpha Omega Winery. A one-time sommelier at the French Laundry, Stamp operates a popular restaurant in downtown Napa called Compline. He's also known for his work as a writer, having worked for years as a staff writer for GuildSomm, a Bay Area education platform for sommeliers. According to the New York Times report, Stamp proctored the Master Sommelier exams for two women he had sex with and failed to disclose that information to the court. Well, that's a no-no. That's a baddie there. The six men have 30 days to appeal the decision, according to California's law governing nonprofits. After that period, if the board of directors upholds its decision to terminate their membership, they will be barred from any future court-related activities. They will also be prohibited from using the title Master Sommelier, a powerful honorific that grants enormous clout within the wine industry. It does to me, I'll admit. I mean, you know, someone's a Master Sommelier, I'm impressed. Stamp declined to comment on the record. None of the other five responded to a request for comment from the Chronicle. A seventh Master Sommelier accused of misconduct, Jeff Kruth, had already voluntarily resigned from the court before the investigation concluded. Kruth, formerly the head of GuildSomm, allegedly made unwanted sexual advances toward at least six female Master Sommelier candidates. Since he has already resigned, the court could not terminate his membership, said Emily Wines, the chair of the board of directors. But he will be barred from ever reapplying for membership. Emily Wines, I think that was... That's cool that she's the chair of the board of directors, W-I-N-E-S, Wine's last name. Okay, enough of my editorializing on that one. The Master Sommelier title is a kind of holy grail for wine hospitality professionals, with a notoriously grueling exam that involves a blind tasting segment requiring candidates to identify the grape variety, origin location, and vintage of wines in a glass with no outside information. Candidates spend years preparing for the test. 3 to 5% of applicants ever pass. Oh my gosh, I gotta mention, I mean, we've talked to people who say they're taking the test, become a sommelier and different things, but the Master Sommelier is a tough test. Oh my gosh, it's a tough test. Originally created to establish a set of professional standards among wine stewards and restaurants, the Master Sommelier title today has a much broader currency. The certification affords a wide range of lucrative job opportunities with prestigious restaurant groups, big wine wholesalers, large wineries, and more. In recent years, Master Sommeliers have taken on a kind of celebrity status, thanks in part to the Somm documentaries. The Court of Master Sommeliers Americas represents these selective ranks. Only 172 people have ever earned the Master Sommelier title through the organization. that's not many. I mean, if you really start thinking about the number of people who probably applied, the ones who tried and all that, 172 have ever made it. And this, you know, I mean, this one person, Bath, passed the exam in 1993. So you're looking at almost 30 years. Wow. Counting those who have gone through the Quartz UK chapter, there are 269 total. Of those 172, just 28 are women. The court had already been in a publicity crisis before the sexual misconduct allegations surfaced last year. In 2018, it admitted that it had discovered instances of cheating during a Master Sommelier examination. I don't know if you remember that. I remember reading that. I think I might have mentioned something about that on the program. I'm not sure if I did, but they found cheating during the test. The 23 people who had passed that year's exam subsequently lost their titles. Then in the spring of 2020, a black wine professional named Tahara Habibi criticized the court for having required her to address white exam proctors as master, which recalled the dynamics of slavery. They are a master sommelier. Okay, that is their title. I don't think they had anything to do with slavery, but, you know. As a result, the court said it would no longer require the use of that term. But some damage had already been done. Prominent master sommeliers, including Richard Betts, Brian McClintock, and Nate Reddy, announced that they would relinquish their titles, no longer wishing to associate themselves with the court. Well, they call it the Court of Master Sommeliers, so that's whenever you hear me say court, is that. Excuse me again. Other defections continued after the sexual misconduct allegations surfaced later in the year, including from well-known female master sommeliers Alpania Singh, Pascaline Lipitalia, and Laura Manick Fiorventi. Public calls mounted for the court to make radical changes. In response, the court suspended at least 11 master sommeliers who had been named as perpetrators of sexual abuse. Then its entire board of directors resigned. Wow, talking about a shakeup within a group. Gee. Soon after, a new board of directors was elected. It hired Margaret C. Bell, a third-party workplace investigator, to investigate the sexual misconduct allegations that have came to light. Eventually, 22 master sommeliers were under investigation. Bell interviewed more than 80 people, according to the court, including alleged victims, witnesses, and the accused over a 9-month period. Once Bell's interviews were complete, the court's board convened to review each case. That effort was primarily led by its ethics committee's two co-chairs, the male master sommeliers Michael Meagher and David Yoshida, according to Wines. And again, Wines is the director. An outside organization called Reliance, which has advised the NFL and Uber on how to handle sexual harassment incidents, assisted the group. Based on the information it received from Bell, the board decided to move to terminate the memberships of 6 people. Some of the other accused sommeliers can still hold on to their titles but are facing other punishments, such as a temporary suspension or a requirement that they complete further training. Wine said that the goal in those cases was to offer rehabilitation rather than simply canceling somebody. The court would not identify their names nor specify their punishments. Members of the board said that in addition to the investigation, they've implemented other actions during the past year in hopes of change. The court got rid of its dress code, which had required master sommeliers to wear certain color suits and had specified that men must wear master sommelier branded ties. Wow, I didn't know that stuff. The new change is meant to be more inclusive of all gender identities. It also launched a scholarship program for women and candidates of color, implemented anti-discrimination and anti-harassment policies, and drafted a new code of ethics. Excuse me. It's going to take time to earn that. Excuse me. Again, sinus. It's going to take time to earn that trust back, but we felt that going from a 2-page code of ethics to a 26-page code of ethics was the right first step, said Mager, a master sommelier in Massachusetts. So far, he said, 80% of master sommeliers have signed a pledge that will follow, that they will follow the new code of ethics. Anyone found in violation of the code will be subject to a future investigation. We know this isn't going to solve it, said Sabata Sargeria, a master sommelier who co-chairs the board's diversity committee. We've eroded a lot of trust, and that takes time. There you go. I've been hearing things about this master sommelier course and testing and all that for 2 or 3 years now, and not just, oh, this is a tough test. We know it's a tough test. We've talked to people that have taken parts of it and stuff leading up to it. Irene, I can't think of her last name right now, lives in Las Vegas, and she has taken part of the test, and it's tough. Our guest we had a couple of weeks ago taken part of the test. He even said it's really tough. So it's not an easy thing to do, hence in the fact that only 172 people have ever earned the title through that organization in all the years that it's been in existence. But you would think that, you know, they would be above reproach. I guess not. And it's sad to think that all this stuff has came about and all this stuff has happened, because the title Master Sommelier really does hold quite a great distinction. It's hard to get. It's hard to pass the test and everything. And once you get it, it's like a passport to just about any job you want to get in the wine industry. It's just it's a phenomenal opening, a way to open doors and stuff along that line. And then for them to think that they are above that is just wrong. This totally wrong. So I'm glad they're cleaning up their act. I'm glad that they're putting in a lot of new stuff. And I hope they get back to the point where it is something that when somebody says, I'm a master sommelier, that it will be something that people are impressed by, not something where, well, didn't you lose a lot of people to harassment or something? And that would be sad if it went that direction. So,
that was Irene King.
Key?
King, K-I-N-G. Las Vegas Wino.
Yeah. Irene King, yeah, King. Yep. You know, that's easy enough. I remember Irene, but I don't know why. You know, I have trouble with her last name. Yeah, Irene King. She was taking the test. In fact, I need to go get a hold of her and see if she went ahead and finished the test. I don't know if she has or not. When she was on a couple, 3 years ago, she was telling us how really tough it is. And so, yeah. In fact, let me grab my pen here. What the heck?
Make a note of that.
And make a note to call her, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, it's very prestigious. I mean, you said there's only 172 that have ever made it to that level. It's not like, working for, I work with, one of the big online shopping like Amazon's or something. It's like, oh yeah, you and 24,000 other people. But you talk about you're in a class of 172. It's like, wow.
And over all the years, I mean, it's not like there's 172 in good standing. I mean, they've been doing this for like say over 30 years, and so only 172 over 30 years is pretty small percentage each year. So that just goes to say something about how tough this is. You know?
Very limited. And then to throw it all away, all that hard work
and just throw it away. You know, and it is. It's really stupid. I don't understand. I mean, it doesn't. And it's just like if one person comes forward and says they did this, you think, okay. But then when you have 20 people come forward, you're going, wait a minute here. Yeah. You know, there's something we need to look at. So, no.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's going to take a while to get their mojo back, but they will. It's a good organization overall, and they will. Let's see, what else I want to do before we leave tonight? Whispering Oaks, that's what I was going to do. Whispering Oaks this weekend. Whispering Oaks is located north of us and east of Orlando, east of Gainesville. Whispering Oaks Wine Run Turkey Trot Race. It's going to be Sunday, November 21st, which is this coming Sunday. And it's going to be at the winery, starting at the winery on, let me confirm that that's the address for it. And it is. Okay. So it's going to be at 10934 South Highway 475 Oxford, which is, you go to Highway 475, which is west of I-75, and the winery is there. And use code WINERY10 to receive 10% off of your entry fee. And it's going to start times will be available from 8 to 9 a.m., and you can run, walk, take your family, jog, crawl, whatever you want to do. And you sit, enjoy the wine. The race is timed and scored by J3 Timing. And they will announce the results. Race t-shirt, optional sweatshirt upgrade is an additional $10. But a t-shirt, souvenir wine glass, finisher medal, and a wine pour for runners 21 and older are included. And it says, can I switch to virtual? Yes. If at any time you decide to run on your own, we will ship your race gear to you at no additional charge. So you can do that. But it's going to be this Sunday, so you're not going to get in time. But you can still go out and do your own and then I'm sure get it. Contact Dolores, D-E-L-O-R-E-S, at J3Timing.com. J as in the letter J, 3 as in the number 3, Timing, T-I-M-I-N-G.com. So get a hold of her and you can do it virtually. You don't have to drive down here to Florida and race. Although Sunday morning is supposed to be gorgeous here. It's the lows are supposed to be in the upper 50s and the highs that day is supposed to be in the low 70s. So you couldn't ask for a better day to be out there running. Fall is here again, continuing with Whispering Oaks. Fall is here. They say, let's rock the weekend. December the 19th, Friday night, 6 to 9, Mike Webb is playing. Saturday the 20th from 1 to 4. Corrales Sarita, and Saturday, December 20th, 6 to 9, Dale Stumbo, and Sunday, the 21st of December, 1 to 4, Richie Q will be the artist. So you can have a whole weekend of enjoyment come there. If you're coming down to visit family for Christmas, then go up and visit them. They still do their steak night every Friday and Saturday evenings. I haven't told you about this in a while. Choice of ribeye or beef filet, surf and turf, or chicken or fresh fish. Nice-sized baked potato, they say, from Idaho, an Idaho baked potato. Plated salad or soup, fresh veggies, baked beans, and freshly baked bread. It's only $32 a person, and tax and gratuity, I don't believe, is included in that. But, and you can purchase your wine and stuff. So that's Whispering Oaks Winery. If you need to get hold of them, go to www.winesofflorida.com. And phone number 352-748-0449. Whispering Oaks. Okay, Tassel Ridge Winery. I haven't talked about them in a while. It's getting cold. They're up in Iowa. So you can warm up with some Tassel Ridge wine, and they say some Iowa Beef Nouveau. It's a recipe. Go to their website, and you can see the recipe for that. It's info@tasselridge.com, T-A-S-S-E-L-R-I-D-G-E, info@tasselridge.com. They have winemakers dinner coming up this Saturday night. Too late unless you live in the area. If you do live in the area, you have to have the reservation by 3 o'clock today. Oh, well, you missed it. So they will have others. They have their Iowa Nouveau be poured on that. They have that available now. Wine tasting by reservation only, but they do have wine tasting available. And the gift shop is open, gift certificates, and all that stuff. So they are good. They get a cute little picture here of somebody pouring wine into a glass that never, ever fills up. It just keeps pouring and pouring and pouring. That's cute. Advertising the Iowa Nouveau. It's available all around the state, too. So if you're in Iowa, they said it's over 400 retailers in Iowa are selling that. And the wine of the week, obviously, Iowa Nouveau. So, if you want to contact them, you can always go to Tassel Ridge, info@TasselRidge. See, what? I always hate it when they don't put their info@TasselRidge.com. Why don't they have their address on this? I'm going to have to get
a website address?
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm looking at their website, and usually they go www. Instead of just info@tasselridge.com. I mean, that's the E letter.
That sounds like an email address is what that sign. The website's tasselridge.com, I believe.
Just straight tasselridge.com. All right, there you go, TasselRidge.com. Well, info would be information at TasselRidge. Yeah. So, TasselRidge.com, get a hold of them there, and they are open, they're ready to go now. Great place up there. They are located southeast of Des Moines, Iowa, southeast of Pella on 163. And they are north of Oskaloosa, so in that area there. So if you're familiar with Iowa, they're in the southeastern part of Iowa. So that's Tassel Ridge Wine. We haven't talked about them in a while. They've been closed. They've been closed for a long time, and they've shipped, and that's what kept them going because they were able to ship product around. Like I said earlier, Florida State Winery would not have survived because I don't think we would have had the opportunity to ship enough to enough places or enough people to keep us open. And so, it's in the long run, it's probably a good thing that we did close when we did. And I've got another one here, I think. Let me find them.
Not there. Where are you? Where are you?
Oh, here it is. Ennery River Winery. Ennery River Winery. They are located in South Carolina. And they are also having events, wine events. They're going to be closed Thanksgiving, next week, the 25th. But they have other stuff happening. This weekend, they're inviting people for a wine tasting, cranberry wine slushies they have, and to watch the fall leaves change. They said it is really doing well right now in that area. Starting to change colors a lot. So they've got that available. And then they have local shops and vendors there Thursday, December the 2nd from 4 to 8. $5 glasses of wine. And they said bring your own musical instruments for a jam session. They have a bonfire set up in the middle there and overhang and all that. So create your own music. It's a fundraiser for every bottle sold that evening. Ennery Winery will donate $2 to William C. Blackman Memorial Scholarship Foundation. I don't know who William C. Blackman is. It doesn't say on here. You can get a hold of them at Ennery, E-N-O-R-E-E, R-I-V-E-R, Vineyards, Ennery River Vineyards.com. And that's their email, or that's their website. Or you can give them a call, 803-276-2855. And they're also on Facebook, Pinterest, and Twitter. So any of those will get you there too. So Ennery River. I had a problem remembering that, Ennery. And the owner said, just like the old song, Ennery the Eighth I Am. And I go, oh, Ennery. Yeah, there you go. So that's, I don't know if that's why he named them that or if that just became noticeable. I tend to think, knowing him, that's why he named it Ennery, just after that song. So, I think, let me check and be sure I don't have another winery here that I've missed that I was going to tell you that's opened their doors and are serving. No, I don't. Okay, that's it. So, if you are a winery, you want me to make announcements about you, I will be more than happy to. Two requirements, though. Number one, you need to be a guest on the show. I'm going to talk to you about your winery. And number two, just send me your email information every time you come out with a new email, and I will announce it. But number one, you got to be a guest. I want to talk to you and let everybody know you and meet you and see what you're all about. So.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to do it for 2 weeks till December 2nd. Wow. We're going to be off next week, Thursday, for the holiday, Thanksgiving, and everyone be safe and try not to talk politics around the Thanksgiving table or you won't have a Christmas. And really appreciate everybody tuning in, and hope you enjoyed it. And, you know, keep those comments and chats going. If you have any comments or questions for a future show, or you want to be a guest on the show and you're in the industry, you can email simply AOL. All about wine 101 at gmail.com. Yeah, just like AAW, all about wine. Yeah, no, it's all about wine 101 at gmail.com. Just email us there. There you go. That works. And
that works.
Ron will get that and set you up if you want to be a guest or answer some questions or have it on the show for an answer. So cool.
And happy Hanukkah for all of you who are celebrating that coming up Tuesday or Monday. And happy Thanksgiving. Be safe. If you're going to be around a bunch of people, mask. Mask up. You know, I mean, you can do that and all. And then when you sit down to eat, you can eat. But, you know, if you're concerned, get those masks on. We need to stop this.
Let's see. What is it the 20th? Hanukkah, November 28th. I think I forgot what date that was. It's
the 28th. Sunday. Monday? Sunday?
Sunday of the 28th. Until December 6th? It doesn't seem like it's a long enough time. Anyway.
A week. So. Yeah, that'd be about right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's what it shows. So
happy Hanukkah.
Yeah. Have a good one. And we'll talk to you next in 2 weeks on December 2nd with Jim Lockwood as our guest. So thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Have a safe holiday.
Wow.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
All right. Bye, Facebook people. Bye, YouTube people.
Yeah, they're done there. And go to the green room.